Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome to the continued podcast adventures of Superhero Speak.
But I think many of the people that love this character and that love superheroes in general have used these stories as inspiration to say, you know what? I'm going to do something good in the world. I'm going to make a difference like my hero when I was a kid.
That is my fondest memory of it, because when you're doing comic books, you want them to affect people.
Right.
You want people to care. You want to strike emotions. And I knew that Clone Saga was striking a lot of emotions.
Can you imagine Pulp Fiction starring Goofy and Mickey Mouse?
I can totally imagine that.
I'm sure somebody's written that one.
Quarter pounder with cheese in France, Mickey? What? Boy, ale with cheese, Mickey. Yeah. I could totally
see.
I would watch the hell out of that movie.
Yes, I gladly saw sacrifice at my progeny to you, a mighty Marvel beast.
But Neil Adams is somewhere going, it's my time.
How do you measure success?
Hey, everyone, and welcome to Superhero Speak. I am your host, Dave.
And I am bereft of things to talk about. John.
I'm just JD.
Just JD. What a wonderful sentiment. Sentiment. Ooh.
Sentiment. Sentimentality is my thing.
So we're just like chatting about like people like the stream. Apparently the streaming wars are, other people are like creating their own channels and stuff because
they want to be part of this war.
Well, not be part of this war, but because they can't get into it. Because I was mentioning MST3K.
Yes. We'll get into that in a second. But I actually wanted to start off tonight by apologizing to the Geek World All-Stars. They are currently doing a live crossover on Twitter using spaces. And at first I couldn't figure out, they started earlier, and first I couldn't figure out how to use it, and then I will admit my girlfriend called. I was on the phone with her and I tried to get on it real quick and then realized, oh crap, I gotta record, so I got off.
You were like a teenager.
Am I? Why? Yes. Am I like a teenager?
I was talking to my girlfriend and then like I forgot what I was gonna do. He's like talking to one of my boys. He's like, hey, focus, got shit to do.
Am I here?
You are
for this. This is the important show right here.
I didn't say you weren't here. Like, just like my teenagers, you got to keep them focused.
But focused. Yeah, focused. Apology to the Geek World All Stars because they.
It's too bad this isn't a video show anymore.
Well, if you can find time to edit the video, then we can go back to video.
What time? People are like, what do you watch on TV? I'm like, I don't watch TV.
Exactly. So what are okay? Let's get all our pleasantries out of the way. Just JD.
Say we have what? Presents? I didn't get any presents.
Pleasantries.
I have no presents.
Oh,
in either form.
How was your week,
man? Not bad. Busy. My sister. I'll start this first with the what's going on right now. My sister-in-law is due like for a baby any week now, so we have taken in their dog. They have like some type of a herding mix dog.
Ooh,
he's big. No, I actually went pretty good today. They dropped him off today. And the two dogs are now best friends.
Oh,
they do nothing but wrestle and snap at each other and maul. But they getting them to focus to eat has been difficult because puppy's got to eat puppy food and he's got the Hershey squirts. So we have to be very careful about what Astro is eating. So we have him eating the dogs, Gus's, that's my nephew dog's food. So we have to like keep their food separate, and it's been a thing. So I'm getting a reprieve right now. That, and I did Don's show, the Omega Level Nerds, on Friday. I talked about my DC Comics experience, and I have officially announcing the Kickstarter for the Wolfstone Saga, my next series of books, 3-book series, launches on Kickstarter April 18th.
Cool.
So I'm open, Geek World All-Stars. Anybody else might be listening. I got wares that need to be pushed, which I will push on this show only a little bit.
Can I pledge now?
Book me. Yes, John. I have a spot for you ready to go.
I need to die.
See, these aren't thriller books. So yeah, like, there's thriller elements. It's urban fantasy. This is actually a re-release of books I put out 2 years ago.
Okay.
I'm really clumsy. I could still die.
Oh, I'll kill you. I just can't market it as like a victim. This is a character. You can become a character, but I'll kill you because we have an agreement.
Clumsy character.
No, so these are books I released 2 years ago, and they just didn't work out. You know, it just didn't click. And I really think what it came down to was I think I had bad covers, bad titles. And I got with a new editor, and we worked on getting these books. So I spent the last year reworking these titles.
Oh, they're the covers that you've been putting on social?
Correct. That's the new covers I put out. It's an urban fantasy series. It's about a young girl finds a mystical talisman that kind of opens up her world to the fact that her dad used to be a superhero. And then you get the story of her grandfather, who was a noir detective in San Francisco in the 1930s, and her great-grandfather, who was basically a cowboy.
Okay.
Cowboy.
Don't. Can I pledge to be the person that kills John?
If you're willing to pay the money, yes, you can.
Okay, then. I think we might have something here.
I got a spot in the book. It would work out just fine. So when the book launches on April 18th, the book series launches on April 18th, it should be good to go. And this one, I worked with my buddy Russell Nolte on this, and he is the Kickstarter master. So I've read his book, done his courses, and I'm hoping for the best Kickstarter that I've ever had. Brandon Sanderson, I know you guys are familiar with him. He is a fantasy writer. He has launched a month ago, he launched a Kickstarter and has broken the record for the most successful Kickstarter of all time. As of last night, I haven't checked today, he has $33 million pledged for his 4 books. He actually has done a really interesting idea where it's not just pledging books, they're secret books, right? He's not telling you anybody anything that these books are about.
Huh. It doesn't matter. It's Sanderson.
Brandon Sanderson, exactly. Yeah. And he is releasing them in like a box set thing. So you get one book every quarter for the next year, right?
Oh, cool.
It's genius. And this guy has actually brought new love to the publishing platform on Kickstarter because it's way smaller than comics. And I'm seeing a lot of people that are fighting and they're mad about it. They're mad that an author is getting $33 million because he created stuff. Like, this is great. He's brought attention and notoriety to the publishing space on Kickstarter that comics has had for a decade, right? Publishing has just been behind what comics has already known. So this is good because more people are following. It's good for guys like me to have, like, the only one bigger than him that could do something would be Stephen King, and that might actually happen. So, like, him doing this brings so many more customers into Kickstarter to buy books. So projects like me, little guys like me, will be up, will go higher because, you know, that rising tide lifts all ships, right?
Right.
People understand that you can get real books through Kickstarter now. Like, Kickstarter is not GoFundMe. It's not, you know, please give me money to finish my book. It's no, hey, I got great books. Buy my books, which you guys bought my books.
Yeah.
So it's good. It's good that people get this. So I'm excited. I'm going back into salesman mode next month.
This is like the opposite end of, like, in the movies, everybody's paying for stuff that's continually the same, right? They want a part 2, part 3, whatever, or remake. Now, here's an example of people paying for something brand new because they know the creator, they trust him, and they just love that stuff that much. Like, they love his work, and they know they'll get something really cool and new.
Yeah, exactly. And this is what's great about this stuff is that, like, we're cutting out the middleman, like the publishers.
Oh, the publishers, like, have been horrible forever.
Like, they tell guys like me that in the low rung of the publishing field that we'll publish your book, but you got to pay for the advertising, you got to pay for the marketing, you got to do all the groundwork. It's like, well, what do I get? A 30%
50%, yeah.
It's lower than that. It's terrible. So it's like, that's where they're at right now. So you're getting all these articles that are coming out online from, like, oh, you know, this is why Kickstarter is bad. I had a guy unsubscribe to my email list telling me I don't want to back any writers that focus on Kickstarter because they're not concerned with getting better at writing. And I'm like, what have I been doing the last year working with editors and, you know, saying, okay, how can this be better?
It doesn't even make any sense. If you're no good at writing, nobody's going to back your Kickstarter.
Exactly. Well, that's the thing too. I'm like, you know what? That's good. Cause you weren't going to help me anyway. And now I'm not wasting money sending you emails that aren't going to convert. So that's good. Right. That you said to me, it's funny to me that you felt the need to be a dick about it, but thanks for letting me know. So we're good. So that is my week. I had a lot on my mind. So I appreciate the forum. Again, reach out to me if you want to have if you want a guest to talk about anything from sports to wrestling, comics, movies, writing, storytelling. I can make up stuff too. Need to push.
This kind of dovetails into what I want to talk about, but go ahead, Dave.
Rock and roll. How's your weekend, Dave?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Dave, go now.
That was good. So I think I've mentioned this a couple times. I've been getting back into songwriting and stuff, and
You really are a teenager again, aren't you?
This is like superhero speak with a teenager, with like retooled teenager.
Are you gonna make a mixtape?
Something like that.
In your eyes,
I'm gonna put a demo together, and I'm gonna put it on Kickstarter.
If you can get the right people to back it, you could make money off that.
Yes, and or people could buy it just to laugh at me. Either way,
hey, the money is the money.
No, this is true. But it's funny because I've been like, music production is obviously so different today, and you can do everything on your computer. Like, one thing I didn't mention on the show, I am now an owner of a Mac.
Hey, welcome to the team.
You poor bastard. How could you?
And I will say this. It's funny, Larry. You know, I've said this before, and it's true. Like, Macs were designed for people who don't want to know, like, the nitty gritty of how to use a computer, because it does a lot of things for you, right? Like, and it makes so much sense that the average person likes Macs. I get it, right? But the other thing that's true about Macs that a lot of people don't realize is what kept the company alive, especially in the 90s, was it was good for art and music.
And
right?
Lock-in. Like, and vendor lock-in. But
God bless you.
Vendor lock-in.
Like, are you speaking German? Are you having a stroke?
No. He's saying like you have to buy everything Apple to work with an Apple. Yes. And that's not as true today as it was back then, but it was definitely true back then.
It's still kind of true though. Like,
I don't know. I mean, I got a Mac Mini, and it's like that monitor is what's connected to it, you know. And
I run stuff off. I run third party.
You can put any USB keyboard in it. You know, you're not locked into Mac stuff.
You ever
anymore.
Try to run a game on a Mac?
I don't play video games. But I'm an adult.
Okay, but here's the whole thing.
Oh.
Yeah, you're far from it. Anyway,
I have a Sting mask hanging up behind me. Yes.
But again, I bought this specifically for doing music, right? So like, I'm not buying video games on it. Like, that's not it. I mean, also, I don't like playing games on my computer anymore. I got a PS4 for playing video games. So
how could you?
But
PC gamer for life.
Dork. But long story short, and this is what I was really getting at, was I got Amazon gift card for Christmas, and I ended up using it on a MIDI controller. And for those who don't understand, basically it looks like a keyboard, but it's not a keyboard. it looks like a keyboard, but it has a bunch of extra knobs and buttons on it, and you can't plug it in and play it. You have to connect it to a computer, and it allows you to control stuff. But the one I got with my gift card, I was like, I wasn't 100% happy with it. So I went to Sam Ash, traded it, and I got another one. And I'm shocked, like, how much you can do with these things, like, compared to, you know, the equipment I had 10 years ago. You know, it's just like, and you do everything so easy on the computer. It's all software now. It comes with this like whole entire effects processor thing for guitars. Like, I could just plug my guitar directly in and like have any effect I want on it. And it's just,
you can do that on a Windows machine too. I mean, you know,
but I have a the whole point too was to have a dedicated thing set up so I could just, whenever I feel like working on music, I just sit down, pick up my guitar and play and record something, or, you know,
I have my dedicated Alienware ready for any game that I want to play. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So only thing I need now is like a good desk to set it all up on. But I will also say this, that while I was at Sam Ash buying it this weekend, I found out about Taylor Hawkins, which that kind of hit me harder than I thought it was going to. John's got a look on his face like, who's Taylor Hawkins?
No, I know who he is. That wasn't my scene. Those, you know, that side of music you know, I would, I'm on the ABBA side of things. So,
oh my God.
Foo Fighters is probably the best rock band of the last 25
years. Well, yeah, it's not like I didn't never heard of them or didn't like any of the songs, but
one of the reasons I love,
but the fact that he was only 50 is crazy.
And he looked good for 50 too. Like,
I mean,
And they're trying to tie it to drugs now, I guess. Was it a drug?
Well, he was known to have a drug problem. It wasn't like
he had quite a few opiates and stuff like that in the system. They released a preliminary toxicology report. It looked like there was quite a bit in there, but nothing is tied yet.
I can't think of the name of the song. Foo Fighters had an acoustic album came out, and it's something, I think, Why You Heal or something like that. Dave Grohl wrote that about Taylor Hawkins because Taylor Hawkins was in a coma recovering from a drug overdose. So, like, yeah, it's not, you know, it's not uncommon. I mean, it's not unknown. It's not like a big secret or anything.
That's too, like, that music scene, the Seattle scene specifically, is there's so many, the drug use has left so many people in the wake of that. You know? It's unfortunately been a part of the scene since day one, right?
I think so.
Martin was the first one from Mother Love Bone, and then it's just been,
but I mean, one of the things I love about Foo Fighters and Dave Grohl is I've always looked at him as a survivor, and I know that sounds weird, but it's like, you know, his career could have been over when Kurt Cobain passed away, but, like, you know, he remade himself and wrote his own music and became probably even bigger than Nirvana was.
Hey, sorry. This is my nephew dog.
Your nephew dog.
I was going to say, your son's looking a little bit hairier there.
This is Gus is trying to figure out what's going on. He's looking for his family.
And one of the cool things, like, if you ever watch interviews, right, like, anyone who's been in bands and has played music understands that, like, there are the bands you form with your friends, and then there are the bands where it's like you bring people in who can play instruments and you get along well enough to write music, but, like, when you're not doing that, you don't hang out with these people, right? And you would think, like, I always, like, at first I thought that's the kind of relationship Taylor Hawkins and Dave Grohl had, especially because, like, if anyone who knows, like, in the early days of Foo Fighters, I think it was their second album. That's a very famous story. Dave Grohl didn't like the drums that Taylor Hawkins did, so he went back and re-recorded them.
Really?
Yeah. But there are so many interviews, like, that you watch with him, and he calls him, like, his best friend, you know? So it's just like, which I get, like, you're in a situation like that with someone for 20 years, you both play drums and whatnot, you probably grow close together.
Well, that's got to be hard. I always thought that was hard for him, too, when a drummer from probably the most legendary band of the era starts a new band, and now you play the drums. Like,
yeah,
it's got to be a little awkward to have him looking over your shoulder like that, and clearly it was, at least for a time. It's like when Metallica hired Newsted and then immediately killed all the bass on And Justice for All.
I can't believe, yeah, I still can't get over that. That was ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. Why Newsted is not with the band anymore.
It's part of it. That's a big part of it, you know? I mean, yeah, but that was a big whole thing with that, too, was like, and I have to say, that's probably the difference between Foo Fighters and Metallica replacing Cliff Burton, was that it was like, yeah, you're coming in and we're hiring you to replace him, but you're never going to be Cliff. Mm-hmm. You know, like, that was the attitude they had with him, and I think that's what ultimately caused him to leave the band.
Absolutely. And they were kids too. Like, they were in their mid-20s, had no idea how to grieve, and, you know, just took all their emotions out on Jason Newsted. Some Kind of Monster, phenomenal documentary on the subject.
Yes. Where
Super Music Speaks.
Yes. Where the opposite with Foo Fighters, where, like, you know, he was creating his own thing now. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like he was comparing the bass player to the bass player of Nirvana, and he wasn't trying to be Kurt Cobain, you know.
Novoselic.
Yes, Novoselic. Yeah, he wasn't, you know, he wasn't bringing in a bass player saying, like, you gotta play like Chris. He can't, you know, so.
That's what's cool about Foo Fighters. They were their own band. They weren't really like a Nirvana clone by any stretch of imagination. Right. They were more of a traditional hard rock band, you know, as opposed to Nirvana, which was really kind of, you know, that Seattle sound really grunge, doing its own thing. Yeah, grunge, like the preeminent grunge band.
Yep.
I feel like we should bring Todd in the Shadows on from YouTube. He talks about this stuff too.
But anyway, yeah, that hit me. Hit me harder than I thought it was going to, and he'll be missed, I think.
Yeah.
Bummer. As you get older, that you get that kind of stuff, you know?
Considering he's like your age and I'm only 2 years off from that, it was like, oh.
My dad said the older you get, the more funerals you go to and the less births you see, the less weddings. I forget how it went.
Mm-hmm. It switches from weddings to funerals. Yep. Wonderful. But yeah, that's pretty much, you know, that was pretty much my weekend. Just, I'm excited to, I've got like 5 song ideas. I'm going to record them and maybe I'll share them. Maybe I won't. We'll see.
I'm just happy with how like effervescent you've been and full of life that you seem like lately. Like you're in a, such a better place than you were like 2 years ago, you know, which was bad. But I mean, like, you just talking to you, you've got this like upbeat attitude about everything, you know, like there's no sour tones in your voice anymore.
Yeah. You were stepping all over my shtick.
What I'm trying to say is thank you, Dave. Thank you.
Definitely. I mean, and I can't, you know, a lot of that credit goes to Karen. I mean, you know,
you're with a Karen.
Oh God.
I'm sorry. The jokes write themselves sometimes.
I believe the first time I said her name, you guys said that too. So
it's not going to get old.
No, it's not. No. God, you know how much she hates that, by the way?
I remember we said it once and you got mad about it on the show. You're like, you know, that's really unfair to call it a Karen. And then John and I jumped all over that like mercilessly.
Which I remember that's what Karen would say.
I remember there was a debate too shortly after that became a thing, Karen. Like, what should be the male equivalent of a Karen? And a bunch of people were trying to say David. And I'm like, no.
Kevin.
Kevin seems to be the accepted nomenclature.
Yeah, Kevin. So.
So, John, how was your week?
Don't even ask. I'm on what we in the computer biz, in the IT biz, call a death march. I've been working 60-hour weeks. So
You said that last week.
Yeah. Yep, still doing it. They have a deadline of this quarter, and this quarter ends in 3 days, and it's not, we're gonna miss it.
Well, you have fun with that.
What?
Well, you have fun with that.
Yeah. No, that's not how that works really at all. Ever, you know, just not really. The funny thing is I still enjoy what I'm doing. I'm just not enjoying somebody telling me it has to be done by a certain amount of time, you know?
Yes. Agreed.
There's this thing in our business, and Dave can corroborate. There's a triangle, and each point there's one point is good, the other point is cheap, and the other point is fast. You can only pick two.
Yes.
If it's good and cheap, it's not going to be fast. If it's fast and cheap, it's not going to be good. Like it, and these people only want they're only letting us pick one. Like it's ridiculous. My job is, you know, like, I don't know, it's just not fun. So that's why I'd like to talk about other stuff, like this opening up of the Kickstarters now, and the fact that all these creators are creating literally their own streaming little offshoot streaming services, because
Patreon, that's what Patreon is, really, you know. True.
I'm curious. Yeah.
You can see stuff on Patreon from some of the people I spend like $35 every month on Patreon.
Oh, my wife would divorce me if I did that. I spend like $7 and she gets mad at me.
Well, I've back a lot of creators, but the thing is that even when their stuff is taken off of YouTube, you can still see it on Patreon, because YouTube is just crazy with the strikes and the takedowns. And
here's what's weird about that, right? Hold on. I can make a highlight video and put it to like a Foo Fighters song, and someone will get up in arms. But some girl on TikTok can lip sync Mariah Carey, and everybody shares it, and it's phenomenal, and no one has a problem with anything.
TikTok is going to get hit soon.
What's up with that?
You know, they go. It gets to a certain point, and then, you know, Warner Media will walk in and ruin the party for everybody. Like right now, the biggest problem with YouTube is Japan with the anime clips.
Okay.
New Japan Pro Wrestling is the same. If you post a picture, you get a strike. They're vicious.
Yeah.
Here's the difference between YouTube and TikTok.
I can see it upsets you, JD.
YouTube is putting commercials on the videos.
Yes, their own commercials, not where you tell them to put, but they're putting like,
so YouTube is making money off of a video you created that has a Foo Fighters song in it. And that's TikTok, no one's making any money right now.
I was just thinking that this morning. I am seeing more commercials now than I did back in the day when you sit down and watch CBS or NBC, right? And you had to watch the commercials. You didn't have a choice.
Remember that Dave sprung a leak. remember that video last year of that dude that was hanging on the back of the truck, lip syncing to, I forget what Fleetwood Mac song it was.
Mm-hmm.
And like the Fleetwood Mac made like a shit ton from streaming. Like Spotify was like, their song went through the roof.
Yeah.
And made a lot of money off of it. Yep. So, I mean, like, this is what I'm saying is like, why I don't know. I don't like it as a creator. It's frustrating.
Yeah.
Well, let's go back. We've talked about Metallica in the 80s. They encouraged you to record their concerts and share them so that their name would get out there more.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were the lawsuit against Napster. So
yeah. Okay. Yeah. A lot of people that are really, really young may not know what Napster was. It was the first really large platform for sharing music. And it took the music companies a while to glom onto the fact that this was a thing because they were run by real dinosaurs at mm-hmm. the time. And once they did, see, here's the thing. Every study showed that people that use Napster were buying more.
Okay, I'm going to be honest.
They bought more music.
The moment I got Napster, the only CDs I bought after that were blank ones. I have never bought a physical CD since Napster. And I bought plenty of digital, right? Like, I bought more than my fair share of music on iTunes. And like, I've done that, but I have never bought a physical album since the summer of 2000.
See, you're kind of weird though. I mean,
oh, I'm definitely kind of weird. I'm also kind of cheap.
But the study said, because the thing being, when you went to Napster, you could see a person's collection that you were downloading from, mm-hmm. and you could check out because they probably had the same taste you do, but you hadn't heard of those songs. So you learned way more about what was out there.
Yes.
And because the radio stations, you had to know a guy who knew a guy to get something played on there, or you had to be signed with a record label. But if you're not signed with a record label because you're not popular yet, then how do you get signed with record labels?
But that's the thing, though, is that it did change the face of music, right? Because it hasn't been the same since. Because Napster ushered in, you know, after Napster got shut down, we had LimeWire and all these like stuff that was a lot more sketchy than Napster. Napster worked, right?
Yeah.
Say what you want, Napster worked far better than the rest of them. But then we had iTunes after that. And after iTunes, everything had changed. Now we have these streaming platforms, and it's different. Like, the idea of putting out a CD is not what it used to be, right?
But then again, the problem is that, like, people were buying more music because Napster was opening up the door and letting you see what was out there. But now Spotify is in hot water because they're like the publishing companies. They just they're grabbing every red cent they can from the creators before the creators even, you know, get a chance to make any money off their stuff.
Which comes back to, if you want to make money, you've got to have your own platform.
Right.
Yeah.
So enter in the thing that I was talking to you guys about before we started the show. Mystery Science Theater 3000, and I can't believe I missed this, had a Kickstarter a couple of months back. They've been off the air for a long time, but they are still like incredibly popular. Mystery Science Theater 3000. If you haven't seen any of those shows, go to Netflix right now and watch them. But
I'm fairly certain that the Venn diagram of people that listen to this show and have watched Mystery Science Theater is in fact a circle.
Well, probably, yes. But the thing is, so they've been off the air for a while. They ran a Kickstarter saying, well, we want to do another couple of shows. They made like 10 times the amount that they had asked for. They handed Netflix a couple of $1 million and said, you know, let's do this now. And they were going to do a couple of episodes every year for a couple of new seasons. And of course, after two seasons, after the first season, Netflix said, well, we're going to cut down the number of episodes we're going to do. And then after the second season, Netflix kicked them off, because that's what Netflix does. It'll do one or two seasons and that's about it.
Stranger Things.
Right. So then, you know, now they did another Kickstarter, MST3K. And they're going to create they've got their own website to stream their own show. And just to let you know, their Kickstarter, they were looking for a pledge of $2 million and they made $6.5 million.
Yeah,
I think,
and I can't imagine it costs too much to produce an episode of
Yeah, but you got to buy the rights to the shows, which I think is where the stickiness comes from.
No, a lot of these, right. a lot of these old older shows that they use
are out of copyright. Into
public domain. You
yeah.
know,
but
even if they have to buy the rights, they don't have to spend a whole lot on some of these shows because they're not worth much. But, you know, it's like they were, I think at the end, they were just coming up with new stretch goals just off the top of their heads, just to keep up with the pledges. And I watch, there's this
Ismoplex.
Yeah, they're going to do Ismoplex. I watch another group called Viva La Dirt League, and they do a lot of skits for LARPers, for gamers, and that sort of thing. They're hysterical. And they did a Kickstarter. And they went from, they were looking for, I think they were looking for like $200,000. They wound up with $2.5 million. And now they're just going to build their own soundstage.
There you go. I mean, it's not enough to be a creator in this day and age. One has to be a creator and a publisher. Unless you're a legacy, right? That's the only way to make money.
Hmm. Excuse me. They were looking for $100,000 and they wound up with $2.5 million. And now they're going to build a soundstage. They're going to build their own D&D soundstage and all this. Like, it's going to be, yeah, it's incredible. But at the end, and this is one that I was following as it was happening, they were coming up with new stretch goals off the top of their heads just to keep up with the. It's nice because this is all new stuff. This isn't people look like. Well, I mean, MST3K is not new, but every episode is very different. So
I find it interesting that like. With especially with this show, right? With Mystery Science, it's like they did a Kickstarter, raised money,
yep.
probably had the money to produce the shows. Like I said, I'm sure it's not the cheapest thing in the world, but it can't be too expensive to produce those shows. So they, you know, made enough money probably to produce two seasons. Like why would Netflix kick them off? It makes no sense. Like you're getting something for free, and all you're doing is distributing it. Like
you can only have so much space, right? Every space you want space, and they're trying to be new content right now, and they also don't own Mystery Science Theater 3000 Netflix.
Yeah,
that's like what said, it is. They don't
you
own
need
it.
To be a publisher, right? You need to be a creator and a publisher, and these companies want to own things.
And that's kind of the problem with the streaming wars right now, because now the only way to do that is to buy up everybody else around you if you can.
We're still in that phase, right? Where the contraction has started, right? And so all the new, you're going to see a lot of things like this, like this Gizmoplex, like small platforms that have like dedicated fan bases. You're not going to see a whole, but I mean, there's a limit on what this, like no one's going to get stinking rich. I should say this will not support a company, right? It could support some creators that are living comfortably, but it's not going to, you know, it's not going to draw the eye of, you know, Madison Avenue, which is a good thing. Right. Whereas all these things that could do something are going to get absorbed. And the big green monster's cable. What's going to happen? This is what's going to happen. These three platforms, whatever the big three are, going to absorb everything else. And then all the little guys will sprout out underneath it. And it's going to be like the infant days of cable TV all over. We're going to have network TV back. And then you're going to have the basic cable all over again.
Yeah. Right? And the thing is, like, the problem being like, okay, so Joel Hodgson, he owns MST3K. If in order to get that on one of these larger streaming services, he'd have to sell out to them, you know, they'd ruin it.
Yeah, he didn't want it.
They'd ruin the freaking show. So
he had the option to sell to Viacom years ago and didn't, kept the ownership.
Right, which is probably why they did a Kickstarter to raise the money so they could keep it themselves and do it themselves.
Right. But now they're going to have their own, you know, Gizmoplex, which, you know, it's like you said, you know, Joel started this off as a, like, what is it? Basically a UHF.
It was a UHF. Show. It's basically, it's what it is. Mystery Science Theater. It's just like Svengoolie here in Chicago, or there's a million shows like that, right? Like the Vampira of the 50s, like all these. I just wrote an article recently about Grandpa Al from the Munsters had TBS super scary Saturdays, right? It was like every since the dawn of TV, they had a guy who would host these shows. They would show these movies and it would get kids all
Elvira, time. Mistress of the Dark.
Elvira is another good example. Vampira or Vampirella. Vampira. I couldn't remember. I get them all confused.
Vampirella.
well, something, whatever one, I forget which is which, but like that was in the 50s. Was things. This has been a thing for TV for years, and MST put a spin on it, right? Mm-hmm. So they did something cool, and Comedy Central picked it up in like, God, 1990, I want to say, so 32 years ago, and they created something cool, and then it went away because, you know, the old millennials and the Xers got older and just they moved it on to other things, and now it's back, and you know, it's probably where it belongs.
Isn't that funny though? We're gonna wind up with like three or four main streaming channels, like Netflix, HBO Max, Disney. And probably Peacock. I don't know.
Peacock, some combination. Like Sony will get in bed with somebody because there's something they're interested in doing their own.
But then you'll have the UHF channels.
Yeah, like that's exactly.
Rooster Teeth and Gigaplex and
New Japan World. Yeah, it's like I said, it's like you're gonna
Crunchyroll.
You're gonna have like basic television, like your network TV, and then you're gonna have your cable, like your old cable channels back when it was like Bravo and like all these like super niche channels before they tried to all be mainstream, right?
All this new technology, we wind up with the same stuff.
Go right of back greed. To where we go right back only, to where we started from.
Yeah.
Yeah, but not only that, I still wonder what the future of all this is going to be.
Nobody really knows.
I mean, I look at what my son watches. Like, he doesn't watch TV at all. Everything is online and like a lot of short content stuff. And it's just like, you know, and like we're talking about the generation coming up is all TikToks and Insta Reels and like that's what they find entertaining. You can't make a TV show out of that. Like,
no, but those aren't supposed to be TV shows, and they're still going to be because, like I said, my kid is six, and he still loves watching. Like, he'll watch, but again, he doesn't watch regular TV. He doesn't even understand how to watch regular TV. Like, the idea I explained about Saturday morning
commercials.
Yeah, well, it's like, well, he gets frustrated on YouTube, so he gets it. Like, he'll watch Teen Titans on YouTube, or he'll watch. You know, he likes watching Jay Laser, this dude who he's this engineer who builds like stuff from superhero movies. Like, or I caught him watching a Nessie documentary the other day because he's like super into the Loch Ness Monster.
Oh, cryptids are always cool.
He loves that stuff. So, I mean, like the idea for him, this is how he's going to have like, I want this. I will go find this. Mm-hmm. As opposed to us, we were like, for us, it was I'll go find something. It was the channel clicker, click, click, click. Hey, what's this?
Yeah.
Or the TV guide, you know? TV guide every week.
Please don't say that name in front of me.
TV Guide.
Did you work for them?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
TV Guide? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I remember there were a couple of people from TV Guide that we used to work
with. Well, I can't think of her name. My boss at the end. Adrian.
Adrian, right.
Yeah, her and I worked together at TV Guide. It's part of the reason I got the job at Point Roll. She brought me in. So
talk about a publication that outlived its usefulness.
Oh, yeah, my God. Kidding. Well, I mean, they are still around in a way.
But yeah, but it's I hate to dog on old people, but it's old people. Like, I haven't touched a TV guide in 30 years, 20, probably 25.
That's because you go, press the guide button on the clicker, right?
You don't have cable at all, right?
No, we're all streaming.
So you don't have the interactive guide on there? Because that's still done by TV guide.
Oh, I see that. Okay, I didn't know TV guide. I see that when I go to hotels and stuff like that.
There you go.
Yeah, if you're on Verizon or Comcast, you have the guide button. You press that, and you still have to scroll through stuff, but at least you can see everything. But there's so many channels, it's almost useless these days.
Like, I every time I go to a hotel and I do this, I'm like, I'm glad I'm just a streaming guy.
So, before I forget, speaking of being old, things that are garbage.
That depends, Dave.
And the future of TV on Friday. No, Saturday morning, my girlfriend and I tried to watch a movie on HBO Max. It was the Steven Spielberg remake of West Side Story. We couldn't watch it. We had to turn it off.
Bad?
Oh my God. It's like, just go watch the original. Like, there's no need for this movie to exist at all.
It's the same movie, right?
Yeah, pretty much. There are subtle changes to make it, not even updated, just there are subtle changes to it. And it was just like, why did you do this? Like, it's even filmed to look like it has filters on it to make it look like it was filmed in the 50s or 60s, and it's like, why did you do this? Like, the guy who complains that there's no original ideas and everything superhero movies goes out and does a shot for shot remake of West Side Story. Like,
good call. At least his War of the Worlds was an original piece of crap based
it was crap. Yeah,
it was a terrible movie.
Yeah,
I did like the scene where all the coats are falling from the sky. I thought that was a cool scene, but that's like or a cool shot. It wasn't even a cool scene.
Or the bodies in the river.
Yeah, like there's some cool stuff, but like the movie sucks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was just I'm warning our audience, if you haven't watched it, don't watch it. If you've watched it and you liked it, let me know why you liked it.
Because they like musicals. Some people just like musicals.
But the original is so much better. Sorry.
So there's some movie, we talk about this sometimes, like movies that could be remade. I just saw a Toy Galaxy. God, I love this YouTube channel.
Toy Galaxy.
It's so good. Documentary on The Last Starfighter, right?
One of the best, awesome.
It's a great, it's a nice little cult hit. Apparently the rights are all kinds of murky.
Yeah.
Like that's the problem with it. To watch that. But that is a movie that I think could benefit from a remake.
Yes, I think so.
If done well.
Any movie if done well. It like no one says this movie needs a shitty remake. Like I'm not saying there aren't, but I'm like, yeah, I mean, clearly a good one.
And like
Fantastic Four, I mean
I'm pretty sure he talked about in the documentary. And anyone who doesn't watch Toy Galaxy, go watch it.
Oh, it's like, great.
Every episode is a mini documentary on something from basically the 80s for the most part, because he's like our age. So
80s, 90s. Yeah.
Yeah. 80s, 90s. Like he also talked about how like the thing in the 80s was you got toys and other product tie-ins to like, you know,
to sell the thing.
And it didn't really have it where it's like you think it should have, you know, especially should have had a game. I don't think it had
It never had a video game. Isn't that wild? Like, you think that'd have been like step one? But again, it came out in an era where they really, especially if you didn't have like a big marketing arm behind it, mm-hmm. didn't really happen. It wasn't an indie film, but it wasn't like a big studio film.
Right.
It underperformed because let's be honest, 1984 was a year of some absolutely gigantic films.
True.
That's a seminal year in pop culture. Like it really is. And you go back and look at what was released, you know, or what was happening pop culture wise in 1984. I mean, like it's easy to get swallowed up.
But next to the Enterprise and the Galactica and, you know, all these other and Firefly, was it the Firefly? Like the Gunstar is one of the most geek spaceships there is.
Yes.
Like it's right up there with all these others.
First movie to have computer special effects too.
Yes.
Was it really? Mm-hmm. Not Tron?
Tron tricks you.
Yes.
You think Tron is computer special effects, but it is not.
It is not.
Practical.
It's matting, right?
Mm-hmm. It's matting. It's lighting. It's mm-hmm. yeah.
I mean, it had graphics, but not integrated into it.
Yeah, it's like I said, it tricks you. Like Last Starfighter, actually, and if you watch it, you're like, yes, that is clearly like it looks like the Sylvester McCoy run of Doctor Who, like when they had that title sequence for that Doctor. It looks like all looks like that. But for 1984, it's good. Like it doesn't hold up as well as the practical special effects in Star Wars, but you know.
And like, it had such a deep mythology too. There's plenty there to look.
Oh yeah.
Oh, for sure. Like there's countless stuff that could be mined in the future. That's what I'm saying. This is a property that could and should be revitalized if people ever got their stuff together. Cause again, there's so much of it.
All right.
It's good story, really. Like it's very Star Wars-y, but you know, George Lucas did that on purpose. Like it's all Joseph Campbell shit.
Yeah.
So speaking of people who should get their shit together.
Shit, fuck the notes. We're freelancing this week.
Yeah, apparently.
We have to talk about social media madness, guys.
We really don't. I mean, that's just a choice, Dave.
It is a choice.
There's a follow-up from something we talked about last week here. Now, of course, we had our good friend D-Square and Ray from the Gorilla Brain podcast on here, and Gray told us a story about Christopher Lloyd. You remember the story?
Yeah, burned house down.
Right, and he had lost all his money because he didn't believe in banks.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So our good friend D-Square tweeted at us, thinking back to the Christopher Lloyd losing all his money in the story, I understand he didn't believe in banks, but did he not believe in fireproof safes?
How many people can afford those fireproof safes? For that much money, how many stacks of $1,000 bills did he have?
Oh, sorry, I thought it was funny. To which the Omega Level Nerds podcast replied, on this edition of jokes that should have been made while I was on the podcast.
Nice.
Yeah, and then Ray tweeted at us a picture of him from the news, Christopher Lloyd's house, and him walking out of it. And you could see that it was destroyed It's 2009 that happened. So terrible, terrible, terrible. And someone named JD replied, yikes.
I don't know what else to say.
Yeah. But hopefully he believes in banks now on some level. And also we had from our good friend over at the Cult 45 podcast, Randy, Random Randy Savage. He said, I didn't know about the money lost for Doc Brown here. He needs all the roles then. Marvel needs to get him in Loki as MODOK or something.
Oh, my God.
We got a MODOK. But they do need... Marvel could do something with him. That's actually not a bad idea.
I don't know. Well, that was the... Yeah, he's going to be on The Mandalorian. But yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, Marvel. That's saying Marvel could do something
with him. Oh, yeah. That's true. Disney's everything, though. MODOK. That could be interesting. Like, because he would just have to do the voice.
We got a Patton Oswalt MODOK, and I don't hate that. I don't like MODOK all that much. So.
Yeah, but the show was not funny.
I have not watched the show at all. So how bad is it?
It's pretty bad. It's I don't know. JD, did you watch any of those?
Nope.
Too? Because it almost feels
like... I watched Hellstrom.
Oh, well, I watched Hellstrom too.
One of my favorite characters on all media. So and I thought it was mediocre.
Yeah, it was okay. I mean, it was good. I would have liked to have seen a second season just to see where it could go. But with MODOK, it feels like the writers were like, this is what kids think are hip these days.
I knew it was an issue when Kevin Smith was doing it. And I love Kevin Smith, but him doing a cartoon.
He's had more misses than hits these days.
Kevin Smith?
Yeah.
Far more misses. He's an excellent podcaster. Filmmaker.
Yeah, I know, right? But everybody keeps putting their money on him and
yeah. And then you only get one dogma apparently in your career.
I mean, well, he had Clerks is a seminal hit of the 1990s, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but that's one of those that, like, it was a cult hit. It wasn't a huge hit when in the theater.
No, because it gained a cult following. Yeah, it never had a real release. It was an art house film.
Which then Chasing Amy became popular because of that. Mm-hmm. Like, that was a good film for him. Mallrats was terrible.
Became a cult hit on VHS. Yes. That was one of those VHS hits.
But that's because his humor matched the era. The era has moved on. His humor has not, you know? His writing has not.
Yes, no. I agree.
Definitely hasn't grown as a writer, you know?
And then the other thing we talked about was the Obi-Wan trailer came out. And our good friend, again, Random Randy Savage, said, Star Wars seems to work better in the TV format, in my opinion. My hope that this will lead to a Dr. Aphra? Aphra? A-P-H-R-A? I'm not sure if I'm familiar with that character. And company doing a Firefly. Oh, okay.
Dr. Aphra, doing, yeah. Yeah, she's Marvel. That's
doing a Firefly Marvel in the Star Wars universe, or maybe flesh out the Finn Jedi story that was left behind.
Dr. Aphra is pretty popular from the Star Wars Marvel. That could be interesting. I don't know if I like Firefly is Firefly. I don't know if I want to see Star Wars version of Firefly.
Right.
Mm. Right.
Is Star Wars better on the small screen right now? I guess.
Well, they've been better than the movies. I mean, say what you want about the movies. And I actually like the movies, but Mandalorian was better. Right.
Yeah.
So Boba Fett's flaws, I think it's at least on par, if not better than.
So, I mean, I think a lot of that has to do with they picked a time frame where they could separate themselves from what's going on in the movies, and Favreau is overlooking all of it. So
it's Favreau and Dave Filoni as opposed to JJ, who's just kind of flirting with it. And like, there was no cohesive direction in the films. We talked about that. Whereas this has got an overarching plot, and like, there's something binding it all together at this point. Right. That was the big problem with the new Star Wars movies. It was just, I'm surprised at how random they were.
They were very random. Well,
Random Randy.
Guess what, John?
What?
That's all the social media madness for this week.
Oh, good, good.
Because I was going to try to keep this episode short, but
we could skip around. I mean, you were finding stuff. I mean, there's not a lot of. It wasn't a very big news week.
No. So, but on that note, here's our good friend D Square to tell you how you can follow us on social media and be part of social media madness.
Enjoying the show? Want to be part of social media madness? Make sure you are following SuperheroSpeak.com, where you can find all of the show's social media links at the top of the page. While you're there, you can check out old episodes of the podcast, as well as some other great content. Check the site often, because we are posting some great comic reviews, as well as comic book and movie news content every day. Make sure and follow us on Twitter at Superhero Speak. And while you're there, check out the rest of the Geek World All-Stars Podcast Network. You can follow them at @stars_geek. The Geek World All-Star Podcast Network include great programs such as the Pop Prison Power Podcast, Colt 45, So Wizard, Fans on Patrol, the Gorilla Brain Podcast, and of course, Superhero Speak. Search for #GWAllStars. You will not be disappointed. Now, it's back to Dave and the boys on Superhero Speak.
Thanks for that, Don. And don't forget to check out the Omega Level Nerds podcast, available on YouTube and wherever podcasts are available. And on that note, we'll take our commercial break and be right back.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
All right, we are back. And yeah, I mean, like, so, okay, let's talk the news real quick. This first one's just a real quick, just because he's a friend of the show, Eric Dean Seaton. He's been on a couple of times, comic book creator, but he's a TV director mainly. He's directed a lot of stuff. People have watched The Goldbergs, Modern Family, but he's done all the CW DC shows as well. And you could probably speak to this, JD. A big thing for a director in TV is to get the pilot episode because... Yeah. They set the tone for the show going forward. So he's been doing this for years, and he finally got his first pilot episode. Of course, it's a reboot show. It's not something original, and it's CBS is doing a reboot of Early Edition. Does anyone remember that show?
I remember the show. It's the show. Yes. Where the
guy that show.
He gets the day's paper ahead of time.
Yes, he gets the next day's paper.
Yeah,
and tries to stop bad things from happening. So. But he's going to be directing the pilot, and hopefully it gets picked up and it's a hit and he can have a really good feather in his cap as a director.
That is a big thing. That said, I don't know. I'm not terribly excited about the idea of an Early Edition reboot, you know.
Well, that being said, if you're listening, Eric, we would like to have you back on to talk about this opportunity.
I'll sit out. It's poor man's Quantum Leap. Sorry.
I don't think so. I mean, it had its own heart. It had heart. You know, the writing, the way the character was written, I think it was good. It made you care about what was going on. The characters were very well written. So, you know, I'd still like to see a Greatest American Hero reboot first before this, but.
Didn't they try that? I feel like we've had this conversation.
Before. Yes, we've had this conversation before. Yes, twice they've tried, but yeah, no, I'll check it out just to see. Cause If they can get the writing right, because it has its own voice. It's not the same voice as Quantum Leap, although it's similar in its
concept in writing wrongs, but
it's empathy.
And he can also come on and give us an update on his comic, Legend of the Mantamagi, Mantamagi. It's been so long, I can't remember how to pronounce it. But yeah, he can give us an update and it would be fun. Come on, JD. Don't be a stick in the mud.
I am a stick in the mud.
But I wish you all the best, Eric. I really do. You're a great guy. And
I would like to talk to him about this. I want to hear about this.
You're one of the few guests that we've had on the show that still talks to me on social media all the time.
Fair.
So, all right. This next story, guys, we got to talk about it. The movie comes out. Next weekend, it'll be, you know, you might be out by the time you're listening to the show, but apparently Morbius, the movie we were all like, why, will be tied into the multiverse and the MCU. Like, so
hooray.
Adrian Toomes, we all saw the preview with Adrian Toomes in it, the Vulture, played by the one and only Michael Keaton. And
they've come out and said, yes, that is the same Vulture from Homecoming. Like, it's not a different one. And
everything there is connected. I love it.
There is a Spider-Man in this universe, but they're not saying which one it is. But they said it'll be clear very soon. Obviously,
Miles Morales,
Andrew Garfield.
I have a funny feeling.
That would be cool.
I have a funny feeling that they might try to sneak that in because
it's going to be Andrew Garfield.
Yeah. Now people, it's funny. Everyone hated his movies, but now they all want him to have a redemption
because he was good in the last movie, and it wasn't his fault. His movie sucked. He was good in them. He was actually, I don't mind the first Spider-Man movie. The second Spider-Man movie, Amazing Spider-Man 2, was not good. So give him something good. I'll be happy. That being said, this thing with Michael Morbius is just fucking awful. I hate everything about it.
What do you mean? What, like,
we got a Sinister Six movie. Why is Sony keep trying to make a Sinister Six movie?
Because
we
Sony
just owns those. We just did it. We loved it.
Because Sony's a bunch of idiots. That's why they will take anything.
Wait,
the only reason this has any chance at all is because Marvel's in
we got this.
There was only five villains. There weren't six.
Please.
The sixth was Spider-Man, which happened in Ultimate Spider-Man.
Hmm.
In the Peter Parker Ultimate Spider-Man run, Spider-Man was the sixth member of the Ultimate Six. Shabab.
Yeah, but in this one, they were all working together, the three Spider-Men.
They were not till the end, not till after the Sinister Six imploded.
Look, this still has a chance because Marvel is involved with it, right?
This is going to, are they?
All right. If you can't put your faith in that, put your faith in Tom Holland.
Are you sure? We don't know Tom Holland's involved in this.
I know, but he will put himself. I'm sure he put himself in here somewhere.
The only person we know is involved in this is Jared Leto, and all he does is make bad movies involving the comic book characters.
Well, that's the question. Like, if this gets panned critically,
it's coming.
Are they gonna want to continue on with him?
But it's gonna come down. The criticals won't make sense. The financials. People. On this movie, which I think is going to happen because nobody cares about Morbius, then yeah.
Well, that being said, you know, we probably should all go see it so we can talk about it next week.
Well,
love you too, JD.
I'm going to see that. For those of you that are tuning in audio only, the bird has been flipped and the table is probably, you know, coming up. So I'll probably go see it. Just
my girlfriend's son wants to see it, so we were gonna all go together. So
movie's gonna be ass.
Oh, I know that. I'm not,
you know, you guys, I'm you not arguing know that. That you don't know that for sure.
The only Morbius stories I've liked are
name two. I can't wait. I'll take one at this point.
No, like
at least Craven had one good.
He works.
Craven had a really good story. That one really good story.
Start. I think he works as a Spider-Man villain. I liked him best in the 90s cartoon when he was a friend of Peter's who becomes Morbius. Like that works. That story works.
That is not a Morbius story. That is a Spider-Man story.
Exactly. Thank you. Or as a foil for Blade.
But I was just going to say, you know what's a great Morbius movie? Blade 2.
But that's the whole thing. Like, taking Morbius and giving him his own movie just doesn't work.
It's a terrible idea. It's a terrible idea.
Why they didn't work him into one of the Spider-Man movies is beyond me.
Because Kevin Feige's like, I don't care about Morbius. Nobody cares about Morbius. He's not even the coolest vampire in the Marvel Comics universe.
No. Who is the coolest vampire in Marvel?
Blade.
Oh, well, yeah.
Half vampire. Okay,
he's a half vampire.
Dracula.
Yeah, Dracula himself, right.
Well, you're right. You can't compete against Dracula.
You're the best. You know, okay, there's a great run. The Tomb of Dracula, great book. The whole thing, Marv Wolfman, good stuff. Got the whole run in omnibus form. You know what's a great vampire story? The one where Storm gets turned into a vampire by Dracula. That Chris Claremont on Uncanny X-Men run.
Oh, geez.
Classic. You know,
did you ever read the...
Morbius.
Did you ever read the run of Batman where he becomes a vampire?
Kelly Jones, Red Rain. I have that somewhere. Yeah, it's good stuff too.
You know who's not in that book?
Morbius. Blade Vampire Hunter. You know who's very rarely in that book?
Morbius.
It's a trend going on here. Morbius was created so Stan Lee could get around the idea of the undead vampire. He was a test case so they could do Tomb of Dracula.
Yes.
That's it. That's the only cool thing about Morbius.
Look, just because Jared Leto is the main character, so, and Sony's in charge of it. No, my God.
That's my other question. That's my other question. And I'm completely serious because I haven't seen a lot of his movies. Has Jared Leto done anything?
Yes. Yes. Jared Leto does have good movies. He made the Prefontaine movie. That was excellent. The movie about the runner, okay. Steve Prefontaine. Great, great movie.
He's a method actor, though, right?
He is a method actor. I'm trying to think of other things he made that I really
understand. Right. Method actors historically don't.
And he's one of those.
Aren't good for long term. Like
they're really good as side characters, right? Like he's really good at playing a supporting role.
Or the bad guy for one movie. But like they usually burn out or decide that they're going to be even crazy. I mean, look what happened with Blade. I mean,
I was about to say, is he one of those like when he's on set, you have to call him Morbius? And
yeah, exactly. Exchanging post-its with the director, signing them Morbius, like he did with Blade.
He's in Fight Club. I'm not a big Fight Club fan. People seem to like Fight Club.
Wait a minute, who's he in Fight Club?
Angel Face.
Oh, okay.
That's better than Taser Face.
I am Taser Face.
I don't like Blade Runner 29.4 or 24.9 is all right.
It was all right. It wasn't. Yeah. That's a movie that didn't need to be made.
Some people really like that movie. Guys, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't like any Jared Leto movies.
Yeah.
The Thin Red Line is okay, but he's like a bit player in it. I liked Prefontaine a lot. It's older than I thought it was.
He's going to be in a Tron 3 movie?
I guess.
Oh my God, they're making Tron 3. Tron
Why?
2. Tron 2 was so...
Now it's even Tronier. Okay.
Requiem for a Dream is a good like art movie, but I don't know if I like it, you know?
Nah, he's got... I got like the Thin Red Line? No.
That was a good movie. That's a good movie. But it's like, that's Sean Penn's movie.
Should he just stick with music?
I like... Okay, I'll be honest. Okay, this might be a tad controversial. I prefer 30 Seconds to Mars to just about any Jared Leto movie. It's Baroque, overdone... operatic rock music inspired by the 70s. But it's entertaining. Like I can listen to 30 Seconds. I can listen to Vox Populi. It's a good song.
Right.
It's very self-important, but it's better than his movies. It's better than
I have that in my playlist.
I like that song. I like 30 Seconds to Mars.
Maybe Jared Leto's just very self-important.
Yes.
There we go.
No.
we figured God it out.
Damn it, Dave. I gotta go see the freaking movie now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shit. All right.
Because it's going to have tie into the MCU, possibly.
Whatever. Who's this dude playing Harvey Dent?
Oh, are we moving on?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're moving on.
I'm done with this.
Okay, Misha Collins is cast as Harvey Dent. Misha Collins was in, what's the name of that show?
All right. I'll go back
Supernatural.
To IMDb. Oh, he was in Supernatural?
Yeah.
I should have loved Supernatural, and I never watched it.
He's been cast as Harvey Dent in... The Gotham Knights show, the show we said last week, it's like, we're not going to watch this.
Yeah.
But it made me wonder, like, what, what's the point of bringing Harvey Dent? And like, they're saying he's Harvey Dent, not Two-Face. So what is the point of bringing Harvey Dent in?
But he's supposed to turn into Two-Face over the course of the first season. It's like, but his origin is intrinsically tied into
Batman. Yeah.
How, I mean, this is like what they did with Gotham, where they had all of these, you know, villains coming out of the woodwork before Batman was even a thing.
Yeah.
Starting to feel like Gotham Redux.
Yeah.
But yeah, exactly. Like it doesn't make sense. It's Gotham Redux, but they're going to have Nightwing and Batgirl in it. And it's just like, why?
Yeah. They'll make this, but not a Last Starfighter too. I mean, come on.
Well, there's a lot more impetus to do something with Batman. People love making TV shows about Batman that don't have Batman.
But here's the thing:
yes.
they keep taking Batman out of the projects where he could add something and be good and people would want to watch, and keep using that property for things nobody wants to watch.
So, did anyone watch Krypton?
No. I did. It was okay.
A Superman show without weird. Superman.
To be fair, I watched Smallville, but half.
But it, I don't think tangentially had Superman.
It did actually did have Superman, just it wasn't quite Superman. But the problem, Smallville came out in an era where we weren't bombarded with the actual superhero stuff.
Right.
Right.
Right. So
they were clamoring for stuff.
Right.
He was the only game in town.
Right. Now, Disney's going to, I got WandaVision last year, and I'm supposed to do Batman with no Batman.
I think that's the whole thing. Like,
I think a show like Gotham, if it had come out in the 90s, everyone would have loved it.
Oh, it was so bad, though.
It was bad.
Yeah, it was.
But the concept of like doing something like that in the late 90s, early aughts, when like we had stuff, but not what we have now, you know. But,
God, I'm looking at the cast of this show. I don't want it. This Gotham Knights, I just.
Ugh. Oh, speaking of CW, just an offshoot. So Lois and Clark, not Lois and Clark, Superman and Lois, The Flash have been renewed for another season. They haven't talked about any of the other shows. I know Supergirl's done. I don't know about Batwoman.
I can't believe Flash has lasted this long.
Yeah, I thought Grant Gustin was pretty much, even though he's the best Flash I think we're going to have probably in my lifetime. I thought they were like, they were losing cast members left and right. Like Elastic Man, they had to drop him because the actor had issues. And
I got a question. My friend Mike Gilbert, who I do the Brace for Impact podcast with, just sent me a DM. He wants to know if the Batman Assault on Arkham show is good or movie. I think it's a animated movie. John, have you seen it?
Oh, it's not off the top of my head. I know I probably have that in my library. You know what the funny thing is? Unless it was really good or really bad, there's so many of them now. Like,
oh yeah.
Let me because I remember Batman Ninja because it was shit. I also remember Darkseid War because that was awesome. But
well,
Assault on Arkham.
While he's looking that up,
yeah, let me check.
We can move along. Let's talk about something that is good related to Batman that we didn't get in the theater.
This was dope.
They released the deleted scene that we talked about from The Batman with the Joker, and
I have so many thoughts. Let's continue.
Yeah, I mean. It was good. It was surprisingly good. Does it add anything to that movie? No.
No, it doesn't. I get why they edited it out, because it would have T-boned the movie completely, and then the discourse would have been Joker, 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 Joker.
Right, right. Because
the Joker is such an oxygen sucker. Yeah. That being said, this scene is way better than the one that's actually in the movie.
Yeah. So, going with the grotesque Joker as well.
It looks like a dude that fell on acid.
Yeah.
To be fair. So this scene is ripped right out of one of my favorite books of all time. This scene is ripped directly out of the book Red Dragon, where
I was going to say it's a very
FBI agent Will Graham goes to speak with Dr. Hannibal Lecter to get the profile on the Tooth Fairy. And I know this scene backwards and forwards because I too tried to rip it off in scripts that I was writing back in the day. So I know it backwards and forwards, and I love it from the movie Manhunter, and it's okay in the movie Red Dragon, but like, oh, I thought they nailed this, man. This was so well done. I love the lens, baby, on the lens, so you never quite get a good look at what the Joker looks like.
Yeah,
and different parts of his face are kicked out of focus. Like, man, this was good. I guess this was the dude that played Druick in the Eternals movie, which we didn't cover on the show. Somehow I missed that.
Yes. What's the actor's name?
Barry something or other. I forget. There, hold on. Barry, someone with a K. Barry Keog. Keon. Keon.
Yes.
Keon.
And that's the thing. I will say this. Like, a lot of people are loving the scene. You can't really say, is he a good Joker or not, based on one scene, I don't think. Like, but it wasn't also, I'm going to say this, like, it was good. I don't think he was over the top with it either. Like, I think he was just reserved enough. And, like, just enough of that, like, I'm smarter than you attitude that the Joker should have over Batman, because I see the world, you know, I see the world as it really is. You try to see it as the way you want it to be. So,
yeah, I quite enjoyed this movie, like this scene a lot. I don't, but I get it. I get why it's not in the movie. I get, because it would have T-boned the film. It doesn't help move the narrative. It makes sense, but I really like the idea of releasing it here, especially when the sequel has not been greenlit yet. Like, what a great way to spark interest for a sequel, right?
No, definitely. I mean, yeah, I don't know why they're making us wait. They've got to be doing a sequel to this. Like, I mean, I know Warner Brothers is the most mismanaged. Oh, they're in the middle of being bought out, right? Or being transitioned. But I mean, you can't take a project that made money and say, "Oh, okay, we're done with it." That would just be
it's completely illogical. But again, they don't know what's going on, so letting this thing leak is it's genius in my humble opinion, man. I think it's great, and it, like I said, I'm not in the mood to watch another Joker movie, but I want to see this one, you know, I really do.
I'd love to see, you know how some of the stories, like, there's stuff that happens, there's weird stuff going on, and, like, it could be a few issues, and then, like, you find out at the end it was the Joker all along. Like, he's not really in the story until you get to the end, right? Yeah, but you find out it was a plan of his. What? Like, do that, you know?
I don't love that for a movie.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't love that because I think it's bad. It's not bad, but it's like it's a tricky way to write a story because like you don't know. I mean, like that can work for a TV show, but for a whole movie, not a huge fan. I don't know. I have to really cook on that.
It's also not really like the Joker's thing, right? Like when he attacks you, you know, because things go either the plan is absolutely nuts or he's there in the middle of it. The Joker wouldn't be the man pulling the strings. That's something the Riddler would do, or Mad Hatter, or somebody like that.
Yeah,
to a point. I mean, there's been a few stories like that though with the Joker.
By the way, I just realized like Assault on Arkham has been out since 2018, and I don't have it in my library.
Oh,
but you can tell him if he wants something to watch, like Justice League Dark 1 or 2.
Well, he was going through Max. He's got HBO Max, and he's like. He's like, I'm thinking about watching this one. What do you think?
Yeah. Like, yeah, that'd be a good one.
Let it roll.
Or Constantine, City of Demons. That was good.
Constantine was a good show.
So yeah. what was your reaction to that Joker, John?
It was not much to go on, but he had the right tone. You know, they had it was a much better banter than the end of was it Justice League?
The nightmare ending or whatever they call that.
Yeah, whatever the hell that was. It was definitely a nightmare, that's for sure. You know, I don't need the Joker, you know, talking about, you know, Batman's balls or whatever. So, I guess he had already caught the Joker. So, because he kept saying they were coming up in their reunion. So that's like, or their 1 year anniversary. Right. So it's like, I don't know. He had the right tone. I'd like to see more. I think it'd be interesting. I think that universe itself could expand to be pretty good. I know he doesn't want to have a Superman or anything like that, but I don't know if the rest of the characters were written as well as these were, you know.
There can be a Superman. Just don't tell me he's there. Just focus on what's in Gotham and I'm good. Because I think that Matt Reeves got a pretty good head wrapped around what's going on in Gotham.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fair enough. Yeah. You know?
All right. So speaking of the Batman, I had a couple questions. I've listened to a couple different podcasts talking about the movie since it's been out. And this one I just found so funny, and it was a good point. So the scene where the drug deal's going down and Batman and Catwoman show up there and she's trying to get the money. And then that's when we get introduced to the Batmobile and it the lights go on and it's super loud. Like, there was a super loud muscle car. How did he get it to that spot without anyone noticing? Thoughts? Did he have it in neutral and he pushed it there?
He's a guy that walks around in a giant bat suit.
You telling me that car doesn't have a silent mode? You think he doesn't have a silent mode on that thing? Come on.
I don't know. Maybe.
I still, one of the greatest, like, that made that car an actual character in the movie.
Yes.
That was one of the greatest introductions to a vehicle I've ever seen. Because just everybody just slowly turning their heads as this thing's roaring. I mean, it was awesome.
Yes, and it was loud. So, but the other questions, and this is a serious one, and it's like something that no one has addressed really. So there's the catwalk scene where he's fighting everyone and he gets knocked, you know, he gets shot, gets knocked over, Catwoman beats the guy up. But then like another guy comes out and he's injured and he's like waking up and he pulls a vial out, injects it into his suit, into a hole that's in his suit, then injects it into him. And all of a sudden, you know, like you can easily brush it off as adrenaline, a shot of adrenaline, but he jumps up and beats the crap out of a guy. And no one's talked about this. Did they just introduce Venom into this world without?
Don't think he would have done
that. No, it's not Venom. It's adrenaline.
Yeah.
Everything in this is like pretty grounded, and introducing the super steroid is
That's how it was introduced in the comics. It is, but no.
Until they tell me it's Venom, they can go back and say it's Venom, but until that's the thing, it's adrenaline. It's a shot of adrenaline.
Just adrenaline like is yellow because it comes through the adrenal gland, and it's like,
yeah, but so is Venom in the comics, yellowish green. So it's like, okay, I don't know. I think I thought it was an odd choice, and like why, like they didn't need to, he didn't need to inject himself with something like that was so weird.
He did. He was beat. He had the crap beaten out of him, and
he's a superhero.
But he's not, you know, he's not supposed to be a superhero in these movies.
But I mean, the audience can accept him jumping up and fighting.
Well, the thing is, this also showed that he's willing to do anything for his mission, right?
Which, okay, even if you just say that's adrenaline, you can still then say, like, that could lead to Venom.
Could, which is what it did in the comics.
Right.
But, I mean, like is it possible? Sure. Could they do a nice grounded version of a more traditional comic variation of Bane? Sure, that could happen in the future. But until they actually tell me that was Venom, it's adrenaline.
I mean, because they still haven't done Bane right in the movies. No,
I like Tom Hardy's Bane. It definitely wasn't like the comic version of Bane, though.
No, you know? Not at all.
Yeah.
No. Give me a comic accurate. Give me a good comic accurate Batman. Give me a good comic accurate.
You know,
it's a comic accurate Riddler, though. They gave us a far from comic accurate Riddler.
True.
What was the Teen Titans like thing? The show Young Justice that had a good Bane. That was Bane. Super super freaking smart. Still, you know, Spanish and you know with the accent and all, but you know, but that was Bane. You know, you weren't terrified of him.
Yes, we still haven't gotten
you. His size terrified you, but what was even scarier was his tactical ability, his brain.
Right. Yes, we need a good Bane.
I would like to see a good Bane story because I don't think we've quite gotten it.
Yeah. No, we got a guy in a mask.
And they redubbed every one of his lines because originally it was even harder to understand, and that's why it sounds like
wrong. Yeah, something very special.
Exactly.
So, I don't know. What do you people out there think? Was it just adrenaline, or was he trying to sneak in Venom for a future movie? He's gonna need it. He's gonna need it for No Man's Land, I think. If that's where they're really going with it,
it's possible. I mean, the No Man's Land is, I'm very curious to see what they do with it because they totally left us in No Man's Land. And I don't know where you go with it, but I'm really curious to see what they're doing.
All right. Well,
you know, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
That's all I got for this week.
Yeah.
I didn't think we'd have much, and we've been talking for an hour and a half. So,
did a good, like the first half of the show where we were just kind of freewheeling was fun.
Oh, you know.
Things I don't trust moving. You guys to free will.
I get it.
Speaking of freewheeling, you guys have any recommendations for our audience before we wrap it up?
I John. Am.
Oh, go ahead.
Sorry. No, go ahead, JD.
Go ahead, JD. You got something
to plug. I am listening to, I do have something to plug. I'll do that next. I am listening to The Talisman on audio right now, and so far so good. It's not what I expected it to be. Stephen King, Peter Straub. It's a fun read, but yeah, I'm curious to see where it goes. Again, Kickstarter is launching April 18th. The page is live right now, so you can click on it. So you can follow the page so you know exactly when we launch in 3 weeks. And then these are my new editor, Nick. He says these are the best books I've ever written. So I'm pretty excited to get these three out to you and to you, anyone. And I'm pretty excited to get John in there so I can murder him one more time.
Yes.
So he's your new editor. He says, you sure he's not just sucking up?
No, I've known him since he was like 12. Like, so okay. we have a real good relationship. And like, he's the one who told me, he's one of the last ones like, hey, let's work on this. Like, he's pretty, if something, well, this thing too is like, this wasn't like, oh, these books are genius. He straight up told me this doesn't work here.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, okay. So he challenged me to be better, which I appreciated. That's and then that, good. Yeah, it is. And it got me really thinking, and it really, his notes, which is why this took a year to get these three books done. Right. And I think they're the best that I could possibly, you know, and I'm really, really proud of them. They're very different from the stuff that I've written, but yet in the same world, same vein, you know, it's got the same kind of flair to it, but I'm really, really excited about these, man. I think this is going to work a lot better this time.
Cool. John, how about you?
Well, I'm actually rereading and rewatching a few things right now, just so that while I'm trying to put myself to bed after like a 12-hour day at work. But I'm in the middle of actually rereading all, because I haven't read the last two books by Jim Butcher that he's put out.
Oh, okay.
In the Dresden series. So I'm rereading the whole thing because, I mean, like when somebody's written a series that spans, like that has been out for 25 years, you tend to forget what's happened in the earlier books.
True.
So I'm going to reread the whole thing. But beyond that, I mean, that's one of my recommendations. Go read Jim Butcher's Dresden File books. But the other one is I'm rewatching an anime called Is It Wrong to Pick Up Girls in a Dungeon? Now,
yes.
The title.
As a question, the answer is yes.
The title may put you off, but
depending on what kind of guy you are.
True. But of all the anime that I've watched, this is one of the ones that is closest to portraying the true Homeric hero. This is like, and somebody who goes through trials, and it is
Well, if you're picking up girls in dungeons, you're going to be spending a lot of time in trials.
Fair enough.
You know, there's a basic rule of life. If you have to ask, is this wrong? The answer is usually yes.
That's what I tell the boys. That's what I tell the teenagers. I'm like, if you ask yourself, should I not do this? 9 times out of 10, the answer is you should not do this.
All right. But here's the thing. Yeah, I'm drifting here. This show will make you jump off the couch and cheer. It will make you cry. It is the depth of the mythology that you catch hints of through the first couple of episodes, and then through the next three seasons. Like there are three seasons in, and that you still haven't seen the whole picture of what exactly is going on. There's so much intrigue you in this, and so many moving pieces, and so many different factions that are all chasing down their own goals. This is, if you're gonna start watching any anime, this would be a very good title to put in your, you know, one of the first ones that you try. So it's called Is It Wrong to Pick Up Girls in a Dungeon? And it is spectacular. Right. And I can't wait to see the fourth season. It should be coming out soon.
So first I'll say that I have downloaded the two new books and I haven't read them yet. Two, we're going to start a drinking game. Every time John mispronounces a word, you have to take a shot. Intrigue, John. Intrigue. The word is intrigue.
Damn.
I love you. Anyway, I will recommend that you guys.
What did I say?
I don't even know. I missed it. It went over my head. So I'm like,
yeah, I didn't.
How did he mispronounce intrigue?
I said like intrigue you or something like that.
Was I saying you after
intrigued?
There's a lot of intrigues in here. Okay. Intrigues. Yes.
All right. I will recommend that you go to superheroespeak.com where you can find the podcast every week. Links to all the social media at the top of the page and comic book reviews by our good friend D Square.
Is It Wrong to Pick Up Nerds in a Dungeon? Episode title. Boom. I hadn't thought of one. It just hit me.
All right. All right.
For that is a yes.
Well, some nerds need to be picked up in a dungeon.
Only place you can find some of them.
Yeah, exactly.
And I am going to recommend a YouTube channel because I've been going down YouTube holes lately. Anyone remember the band The Darkness?
Oh yeah, I believe in a thing called love.
Yes. So Justin Hawkins, who was the lead singer of The Darkness, which actually they just had an album come out a couple years ago, but anyway, he has a YouTube channel called Justin Hawkins Rides Again, and they're all like super quick videos. He just launched it this year, but it's interesting because he talks about stuff that goes on in the music industry that people don't realize that still goes on today too. Like it's not, you know, they still try to get away with some of this crap. And we were talking about that earlier in the show, so I thought it was a good tie-in. Also, then he like looks at new music and like reviews it, like new popular songs and like talks about them, and it's really cool to get somebody who's been in the business's perspective on some of this stuff. So
cool.
Yeah, and it's so cool to like he always sits there with a guitar while he's listening, and he figures out the chords, and then he'll be like, oh, this is the like this one song he started playing, and it's like, Oh, this is the same chords of With or Without You. It was the same exact chords. It's like,
you know, you could add the YouTuber Todd in the Shadows to that, because he does reviews of movies, but he'll give you the entire background of a group or a song and like break the whole thing down for you. So
yeah, one of the things I like about him is like a lot of times he goes into it without knowing anything. Like a song is suggested to him and he'll just start listening to it because like you're getting a fresh take on it. So.
Neat.
Yeah, I mean it's fun. He's very personable, like a little weird, but very down to earth. So that's my recommendation. So there you go. On that note, boys and girls, as always, thanks for listening. Don't let your cape get caught in the door. Have a good week.